You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog provides a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Our coverage of commodity fundamentals and industry changes keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape. Global energy markets are at a critical juncture, and the role of U.S. exports are vital as ever as we sit at the intersection of worldwide supply and demand balances for the oil, gas, NGL, and refined products markets. So join RBN in Houston on September 26th and 27th for our ExportCon 2022 conference, where we discuss the impact of growing U.S. exports on domestic markets from the wellhead to the export dock. Plus, we'll explore the global market effects, including supply, demand, and logistics. Save your spot today and go to rbnenergy.com/exportcon. That's the letter X, P-O-R-T-C-O-N.
Monday, August 22, 2022. Gulf Coast Highway, Part 3. Corpus Christi's Case for Becoming a Clean Hydrogen Hub. Published by Housley Carr. It wouldn't be hard to work up a checklist of the qualities that a major clean hydrogen hub should offer. Easy access to low-cost natural gas for methane reforming, and to carbon sequestration sites for captured carbon dioxide, or CO2. Plentiful wind and solar energy to power electrolyzers that split water into hydrogen and oxygen. Lots of available land for clean hydrogen and ammonia production facilities. Nearby refineries and other industrial consumers of hydrogen. And don't forget export terminals, because the rest of the world will continue to demand U.S.-sourced energy. Well, as we discuss in today's RBN blog, Corpus Christi seems to check all the boxes. Hydrogen isn't a silver bullet fix for the world's energy needs, but there's growing momentum behind the view that we'll be part of a solution, and that the U.S. had better get going if it's going to be a leader in low-carbon hydrogen production and use. As we said in part one of this blog series, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act that President Biden signed into law last November directs the Department of Energy, or DOE, to invest up to $8 billion over 5 years in the development of four or more hydrogen hubs. The DOE will select the hubs by May 2023. DOE also will spend another $1 billion on efforts to reduce the cost of producing clean hydrogen from water via renewables-powered electrolyzers to $2 per kilogram, from the current $4 plus per kilogram, by 2026, and another $500 million to help advance equipment manufacturing technologies and techniques for clean hydrogen processing, delivery, storage, etc. Hydrogen got another boost from the Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA, that became law on August 16. Among other things, the IRA will provide production tax credits, or PTCs, of up to $3 per kg of green hydrogen produced, which goes a long way in improving the economics of renewables-powered electrolysis projects in particular. See Name Game, our blog about the IRA, for details. Last time, in part 2 of our series on hydrogen hubs, we examined the proposed Houston Hydrogen Hub, an effort led by the Center for Houston's Future as part of the Greater Houston Partnership's Houston Energy Transition Initiative, or HETI. As we said then, there are many facets to HETI's case that the Houston area deserves to be selected as one of the DOE's new hydrogen hubs, but perhaps its most compelling argument is that so much of what's needed to develop a hub and enable it to thrive is already in place along the coastal stretch between Freeport, Texas, and the southwestern corner of Louisiana. Put simply, and we acknowledge some bias, it would be hard to imagine the DOE not selecting Greater Houston as one of its handful of new hydrogen hubs. In fact, we think a good argument could be made for the DOE getting behind a hydrogen mega hub that reaches down the Texas Gulf Coast to Corpus Christi, or a separate hydrogen hub in the Corpus area, as we'll discuss now. The DOE has defined a clean hydrogen hub as a network of clean hydrogen producers, potential clean hydrogen consumers, and connective infrastructure located in close proximity. As we see it, the Corpus Christi area, including Ingleside, just across the bay, has all the makings of becoming one of the most cost-effective, scalable hubs anywhere. Among other things, there are large tracts of land, much of it owned by the Port of Corpus Christi, or POC, that could be used for clean hydrogen and clean ammonia production, hydrogen ammonia storage, and CO2 sequestration, as well as an array of marine terminals that could be expanded to export ammonia. Ammonia, which contains a lot of hydrogen, is an efficient carrier or suitcase molecule for transporting hydrogen by ship. Let's start with what's already in place in and around Corpus. That would include over 1,000 tons per day of nameplate hydrogen production capacity via four steam methane reformers, or SMRs, that break down natural gas and, in one case, uses 100% waste gases from local refineries as well, into hydrogen and CO2, with the latter being vented, for now, at least, into the atmosphere. the three Corpus Area SMRs that use only natural gas as their feedstock are owned by Valero Energy. Its capacity is 650 tons of hydrogen per day, Air Liquide, 118 tons per day, and Air Products and Chemicals, 71 tons per day. At its Javelina complex, Howard Energy Partners can produce up to 150 tons/day of hydrogen via SMR and pressure swing adsorption, or PSA, from waste gases collected from the area's six refineries. PSA is a technique that uses pressure to separate some individual gases from a mix of gases. The six refineries in Corpus Christi and Ingleside, with a combined capacity of 908,000 barrels per day, are major consumers of hydrogen, as are a number of area industrial facilities. There are also a handful of existing hydrogen pipelines in the area, including several lines feeding Corpus area refineries and two Air Liquide owned pipes, one that runs from the Corpus area to a Valero refinery in Three Rivers, Texas, and the other that runs to the Corpus area from a Celanese petrochemical plant in Bishop, Texas. What else is around? About 8 gigawatts, or GW, of wind turbines within 50 miles of the port and increasing numbers of large-scale solar farms that could be used to power electrolyzers. The POC also has ambitions for as much as 500 megawatts, or MW, of solar on port-owned property alone. As for what's planned, there are a number of carbon sequestration efforts underway, we'll get to those in a moment, as well as a $2.50 billion-plus project at the Enbridge Ingleside Energy Center, or IEC, to produce clean hydrogen and ammonia. As we said in That's Where I Belong a couple of months ago, that project, a joint venture of Enbridge and Humble Energy, will use a proprietary version of an autothermal reformer, or ATR, to partially oxidize natural gas with oxygen and steam, then separate the resulting synthesis gas, syngas, into hydrogen, CO2 and other byproducts. Up to 95% of the CO2 generated during the hydrogen production process will be captured and injected into a nearby plant class V sequestration well for permanent underground storage. It's only practical to capture about 50% or so of the generated CO2 from SMR. A portion of the hydrogen produced will be distributed in the Corpus area for use by refineries and other industrial operations, but the bulk of the project's hydrogen would be used to produce clean ammonia. The ammonia could be used as a low-carbon shipping fuel or loaded onto ships and transported overseas, where it could be used as is in co-fired coal plants, see Something to Believe In, or cracked or decomposed over a catalyst to produce hydrogen, for use in fuel cells or as a fuel for gas turbines, and nitrogen, a non-toxic, non-GHG gas with many commercial uses. The POC is also cultivating both onshore, POC-owned property, and offshore carbon sequestration to permanently store CO2 captured from SMRs. For example, in March, the POC, Howard Energy Partners and Talos Energy announced a lease option for the pore space below 13,000 acres of POC-controlled land for possible saline aquifer sequestration sites. The initial goal would be to sequester up to 1.5 million metric tons of CO2 per annum, 1.5 million tons per annum, with the potential to expand that to as much as 10 million tons per annum or more across several sites. The POC also has been working with Texas's General Land Office, GLO, for almost a year now on the possible development of carbon sequestration sites in GLO-controlled areas just offshore. Capturing and sequestering CO2 from existing large-scale SMR facilities would give the developers of renewables-powered electrolyzers and clean ammonia plants, and they will need to plan, finance and build, and later expand their projects. A number of such projects are in various stages of development. To track low-carbon hydrogen and ammonia production projects and other related developments, see our weekly Hydrogen Billboard report. So far, we've looked at existing hydrogen production in the Corpus Christi area, hydrogen consumers, refineries and industrial facilities, hydrogen pipelines and plans for carbon sequestration projects and clean hydrogen and clean ammonia production. Then there's the export angle. POC is a leading, many would say the leading, energy export gateway in the U.S., and the port has indicated that the POC and its customers intend to leverage existing commercial relationships, dozens of markets across six continents, to become an international production and export hub for clean hydrogen and derivatives, like ammonia. That would require the development of ammonia handling facilities at IEC in Ingleside and other terminals in the area, maybe even new terminals, and POC has the land and plans needed to realize this vision. These operations would likely be similar to Royal Vopak and Moda Midstream's recently opened Vopak Moda Houston, or VMH, ammonia and LPG terminal up the coast on the Houston Ship Channel, which we discussed a few months ago in One Step at a Time. As the POC sees it, the vast majority of the hydrogen and ammonia-related assets to be developed, the production, sequestration sites, and export facilities, as well as the Corpus area hydrogen customers would be located very close to each other, minimizing the need for long-distance hydrogen, ammonia and CO2 pipelines and thereby reducing costs and increasing efficiency. Also, port officials believe that the Corpus Christi area could either advance as a standalone hydrogen hub serving the South Texas and export markets, or as part of a much larger hub encompassing most of the Texas Gulf Coast and maybe parts of Louisiana too. Either way, it seems likely that Corpus, already number one in crude oil exports, number two in LNG exports, and number three in refined product exports, will also become a major player in clean hydrogen and clean ammonia production and exports as those markets develop through the 2020s and 30s. Speaking of exports, be sure to join us at RBN ExportCon on September 26th to 27th in Houston. The conference's focus will be the U.S.'s expanding role as a major energy exporter and the impact on domestic markets. We'll hear from top executives from industry-leading companies engaged in upstream, midstream, and export markets. Save up to $300 with our early bird rate through September 9th. Click here for more information. Gulf Coast Highway was written by Nancy Griffith, James Hooker, and Danny Flowers. It made its first appearance on Nancy Griffith's 1988 album, Little Love Affairs. The song is about a couple of lovers who dream of growing old together in their home off Highway 90, a route that rolls through southern Texas, often along the Rio Grande. It is full of Texas imagery, including references to bluebonnets, a state flower. Griffin wrote the song with her then bandleader of 20 years, James Hooker. Hooker worked as a session keyboardist at Royal Studios in Memphis and Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, before becoming a founding member of the Amazing Rhythm Aces. Nashville songwriter Danny Flowers came up with the song's line, "She walked through springtime." Flowers is best known as the author of the song Tulsa Time. Nancy Griffith passed away in Nashville in August 2021 at the age of 68. Emmylou Harris recorded Gulf Coast Highway with Willie Nelson and included it on her Duets album, released in July 1990. Duets went to number 24 on the Billboard Top Country Albums chart. She also included the song on her comprehensive 3-CD career retrospective album, Portraits, which was released in 1996. Emmylou Harris is an American singer, songwriter, musician, and actress. She has released 26 studio albums, 3 live albums, 11 compilation albums, and 70 singles, and has sold over 5.5 million records in the U.S. She has won 4 Grammy Awards, 3 CMAs, and 2 ACMs. She's a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame and the Grand Ole Opry. She holds an honorary Doctor of Music degree from Berklee College of Music. She still records and is playing a series of summer concerts in the U.S. and overseas. Willie Nelson is an American singer, songwriter, musician, actor, poet, and activist. He has released 97 studio albums, 13 live albums, 2 soundtrack albums, 51 compilation albums, and 130 singles. He has won 13 Grammy Awards, 7 AMAs, 10 CMAs, 5 ACMs, and 2 BMI Awards. He is a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame and the National Horticulture Hall of Fame. He has received Kennedy Center honors and the Gershwin Prize from the Library of Congress. He has sold over 40 million records in the U.S. and still records. Nelson recently started his summer tour, which runs through September.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. Leave us a 5-star rating if you liked what you heard. And for more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.